Welcome to Living Above the Drama. I'm your host, Dr. Georgiana Donatio, and today my guest is Craig Schroeder. Craig is the author of The Ultimate Manual, The Missing Guide to Living a Meaningful Life. Craig co-founded and served as CEO of one of the largest Microsoft partners in Northern Indiana, helping companies develop their technology strategy. His passion, however, is helping individuals operate in their sweet spot, a place where their passion and strengths intersect so they can maximize their potential. Craig's previous books include Intentional Living and Leadership and You in the Sweet Spot, which introduces tools to help individuals garner a deeper understanding about themselves, their purpose, and their sweet spot, so they can live on purpose with purpose. Craig, thank you so much for joining us today on Living Above the Drama. I'm really excited to have you on.
Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, haven't you been a busy one?
A little bit.
Yeah, when we talked in the pre-interview, you shared your backstory, which was very ambitious, very hardworking. You were doing an awful lot. And one day, you said to your wife, "Honey, I'm going in that room, and I'm not coming out for a while." And you did some transformational self-awareness work that caused you to sell the business that you were prospering in and move on to other things. So you want to tell us all about that? Give us some of your background and what led up to that kind of real important moment of self-realization, and then how you wrote your first book.
Sure. Well, I started Terrico with another person, and we ran that for about 20 years. Before that, we were, you know, working at one of the big CPA firms, did some consulting on the side and things of that nature. But really, after, you know, 20 years of running a consulting business, I got to see a lot of inside cultural things in companies. And I'm a forever learner, so I'm always reading and podcasting and whatever. And I ran across this life plan, and I'm like, you know, I've been doing business plans, business strategy plans for a long time. That's how I grew my companies and grown to where I'm working at now. But there was nothing really out there for a life plan. So I did, as you mentioned, I found a free ebook. It was really, really skinny. And I locked myself in Saturday, Sunday, and, basically, you know, you lay out your priorities, you know, whether it's your health, your wife, your kids, God, spiritual, whatever your priorities are, but then you reconcile it to your actions. And it just was so, so apparent that my actions weren't congruent with what my priorities were. So I came out, I was very convinced. I didn't have any reservations and sat my wife down and said, "We got to sell the business because, you know, we have three daughters and I about missed the first half of their life. If I continue on this route, if I'm saying they are a priority to me, it's not going to work." So it led to me doing my life plan, selling a business, did some executive coaching, wrote those other two books. And I really started understanding a theme when I did the executive coaching that people were like all business and they really didn't plan their personal life. I mean, everybody sets goals, you know, weight and whatever else, diet, but they don't really look far enough in advance to make sure what they're doing today or this quarter is how they want to be remembered, you know, and achieving the things they want to do in 3 to 5 years or 10 to 30 and making sure it aligns with their core values and what they believe.
Well, one of the things that, you know, a lot of people talk about is the legacy that we live and the legacy that we leave. And that it seems today that for most people, legacy for them has to do with their money and their material things, and what it is that they potentially can leave behind for their family or their children. And I think in talking to you, it sounds like the work that you've been involved with is a lot more than just that. It's about more than just what you're earning and how big a house you have. You wrote a previous book called Intentional Living and Leadership. I would assume, was that one of the first ones out of the chute in terms of starting to develop this idea that there is a lot more going on than just how successful we are in business?
yeah, that opened my eyes quite a bit because it just ain't leading intentionally. You know, I mean, people like you said, they define success or legacy as money. It's, you know, certainly that can be a part of it, but most people fail to define success. You know, success, quarterly getaways with your wife, is it, you know, monthly visits with your kids, in addition to money. You got to look across all the five domains of your life to make sure when you're defining success, you're keeping things in balance. Because if one of those five domains in your personal life are out of whack, it's going to definitely affect the other portions. But yeah, that was the quest that started the whole thing in motion.
So what did your wife say when you said, honey, we're selling the business, I've had an epiphany? What was her response to that?
She was taken back a little bit, but she got it. You know, she knew I was working late hours, and I just showed her. I held up the two pieces of paper, my priorities and then how my actions are. And she said, I get it. We'll get through it. And she was fully supportive from day one.
That's fantastic. Now, that I'm sure was not as easy as it sounds. You know, you say, oh, I'll sell the business. Oh, I'll sell my house. You know, I'll move on. It can be easy, but it probably was a little bit more complex. Yes. What kind of recommendation do you give for people who have made a decision that they do want to have an intentional life and they do, you know, want to live a life that is meaningful and fulfilling, which is very different from what they're currently doing? How do you recommend they navigate that?
Well, it all starts with self-awareness, right? So in my book, in the one-page life plan that I created, you learn in chapter one or section one all about you, you know, your disc profile, your Myers-Briggs needs, your love language, your emotional intelligence quotient, things of that that people really just don't keep top of mind. They're like, my love language, I don't really need that with my wife. And that's a problem because I had that wrong for the first 10 years of my marriage. I thought it was task. And it was just time, just hanging out and spending time. So really,
do you want to slow that one down and talk a little bit? Because a lot of people in the audience, I know I myself, I'm not really, really sure what love language is. I don't even know what that definition is. So why don't we take break down the elements that you were talking about? I think you mentioned five of them.
Yep. There's tasks. When you do tasks for somebody, you know, mow the grass, clean up the house, put away dishes. There's time where you're in the present with them when you come home. You know, just that being close. Not, you know, I mean, not anything crazy, just being close. You know, that's mine. You know, I like it when my wife's watching a TV show or just discussing life.
Let's be clear about those five elements. So you're talking about tasks, which is what you do for the other person. You're talking about touch in terms of expression of affection.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a love language, which is, you want to clarify that for us? What is a love language? Is it the way you express love?
It's how your partner or friend receives love. Okay, so mine is touch, and we can talk to my wife about that. And she says, yeah, I know you like your arm scratched. And that's how I receive affection and love. And hers is time. I got to be intentional about blocking out time that is just one-on-one time, just hanging out and being with her, being in the present.
So hugs for her is time with you. In other words,
correct.
That's how she gets her hugs.
Correct.
And you get affection or communication of love through being touched, scratched, have your head rubbed, whatever that might be. Are there other components besides those three?
Gifts, when you buy gifts for somebody and okay. They feel like, you know, you're paying attention to them, you're buying them something they mentioned that they would like. And then the words of affirmation, saying thank you, I appreciate everything you're doing. It's words of kindness. It's words that you appreciate what they're doing.
Right. So those are the things, I think what you're saying, Craig, is they create connection. They create the relationship. The relationship is how we share what we value about ourselves and other people together with another person. So is this essentially what you learned in your life planning, or is this something that you discovered in your life planning? How did you come across these elements?
Well, I knew about the love language probably for about 10, 15 years. But when I was putting together my new workbook, I was really honing in on how do you help somebody be more self-aware so they are living in their sweet spot where their passions and strengths intersect. And it's these series of assessments, from a DISC profile to your strengths, your natural strengths, how everybody has five natural strengths that they were wired with. And just so I laid out those assessments, and there's a few more in the book, but it's really, you know, the gift of self-awareness is the best gift you can give somebody, because then they start looking, how am I in my workforce? How am I at home? How am I responding to others? And it really just makes them more aware of them.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of, I know your commitment, the thing that you're passionate about in life is helping other people live their best life. How are you doing that these days? I know you're writing. I know you said that you were planning on actually doing some trainings, putting some trainings together. What are you doing now with this work and the books that you've written? How are you bringing that out to others?
Well, the purpose of the book, I was doing a lot of mentoring, executive coaching, and it was all based around this. And I really wanted to reach the masses to make the world a better place. Because if you know your sweet spot, you know your strengths, you know your love language, you're just happier at work, you're happier at home. And so I really worked pretty hard on getting this book pulled together as a workbook. It's something that you just don't read. You got to read and do. And then you put an action plan together with annual priorities and goals, and then quarterly goals. So it really helps keep them accountable to themself, because I couldn't get enough traction doing one-on-one. You know, my goal is, you know, my personal purpose is to help others be better than they thought they can be. And then my goal is to have 100,000 people do life plans by 2025. And I knew I wouldn't reach that if I didn't write a book, because I can't do that by myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot of people, don't you think?
Yeah, stretcher.
During the pre-interview, you talked about the Myers-Briggs evaluation. You want to talk about some of the other evaluations that you've worked with? I'm sure they've had an influence on your writing and an influence on your perspective.
Yeah, the Myers-Briggs are, they have a website called 16personalities.com, which is a free Myers-Briggs, and that's in my book. And it tells you who you are and the other people that are like you in the world, where you can just strive and glide through life easily and just really be genuinely happy. You know, so that one's really good. And I've done that with a ton of people, including my daughters and their boyfriends. And they really, it gives them the perspective of, oh, that's why you talk like that. Oh, that's why you act like that. You know, so it's really getting them to communicate better, because it's, again, it's that self-awareness.
What is Myers-Briggs based on? I mean, how was that, like, psychological testing that was done in terms of communication style, attitudes, values? How was that assessed? Do you know?
Yeah, it's been around. Shoot, man. I think it's 60, 70 years. It's been around for a long time. And it's basically, you come up with four letters, and there's 16 personality types, and we all fall into one of them. And it's just so enlightening. I bet if you did it, you would say, oh, wow, this is me. You know, and it's only like a 5-minute, 6-minute assessment, and I haven't had it be wrong yet.
So you're saying that out of the almost 8 billion people on the planet, there are only 16 personality types.
Correct.
That's kind of hard to believe. There's got to be all kinds of there have to be all kinds of overlapping and integrating and partials and things of that nature, because that's an astounding number. That means that one out of every 16 people walking around is like you or me. And let's face it, that just boggles the mind. Really.
It does. When I start doing the research on it, I was like, wow, how can that be? And you know, obviously in the little minor details, there could be variation, but the majors, they're always right on.
Wow. And so that's it. We human beings are boiled down to 16 personality types.
Yep. That is, and it's pretty neat. And then I got the other one, the strength finders, how we're naturally born with five strengths, you know, which is really neat. And that was helpful for me, because mine are futuristic, strategic, focused, achiever, and responsible. So I think in the future, because I always, being in technology, I had to figure out what was coming down the pipe. and what we had to change. And then the strategy side coupled with the futuristic helped me out. And then the other three, really, it just affirmed what I was doing.
And what about being in the present? Where did that come in?
Being in the present state of mind? Is that what you're asking?
Like you were saying, you were futuristic, always looking ahead, looking at the future of things.
Oh, yeah. I have to consciously pull myself back in the present because I know that's a tendency of mine. And again, I'm aware of it. So I know I can't think about, you know, summer fishing. I got to dress today. I got to worry about this month's budget, not next year's budget. You know, I want to, you know, if I start laying out all these strategy plans that are too far in the future, I won't be effective today.
Now that's got to be that has to be one of the Myers-Briggs personalities, right?
Isn't that? Oh yeah, it definitely is.
Do you want to just briefly, because it's such a fascinating topic, you want to just mention the different types? I'm sure you're very conversant with it because it's in your book, that the different types of personalities that can be found in Myers-Briggs.
I don't have a list yet. There's 16 of them. I mean, yeah. if I just told you what they are, like a protagonist, that's the one I am. I would use that as an example. And the definition is protagonists are natural born leaders full of passion and charisma, forming around 2% of our politicians, our coaches, and our teachers, reaching out and inspiring others to achieve, to do good in the world.
Out of the 8 billion, one out of 16, there's a teeny tiny amount that are actually one type.
Yes, and that was my type, the protagonist.
Okay. So what are those of us in the great unwashed? How are we categorized? if we're not charismatic leaders, what are we characterized as?
Well, let me tell you the four components, because that might be easier than reading all 16. You know, you're either an extrovert or you're an introvert. You're either a leader or you're a manager. You know, you think future or you don't, and then you like peace, or do you want to create change? You know, those components make up all those 16 personality types.
Okay. So there is an opportunity, I'm sure, for all of us to look up Myers-Briggs and see, you know, if we think that they're consistent. I don't know. I tend to be very pragmatic about this stuff. I think it's hard to nail 8 billion people down to 16 prototypes. I think that's pretty tough. It's like, you know, everybody looks different, thinks different, feels different, acts different. They may have a certain tendency, but I would find that hard to, you know, to wrap myself around. We are through the first part of the show. Boy, that went by really fast.
No
so
kidding.
Audience, don't go away. Craig will be back very shortly, and we're going to talk more about this fascinating subject. He's written a book, The Ultimate Manual. We're going to talk more about it and how it can help you to live a more fulfilling and happy life.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance. a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way. What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
Into Craig Schroeder, who wrote a book about living an intentional and purposeful and on purpose life. And Craig, before the break, we were, you know, talking about the amazement that Myers-Briggs can boil the universe, or our universe anyway, this little planet, down to 16 personality types for, you know, 8 billion people. And you said it's pretty true and pretty consistent. I wonder, you know what, I know you work, you probably work with people who are very involved in creating their lives and being very productive and what have you. I wonder if there's a lot of culture that influences these evaluations as well. Did you, when you were writing your book and you were writing about, you know, the missing guide, how to live a meaningful life, were you thinking about cultural differences or any kind of differences that may make, you know, a significant impact on how people could interpret that information?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, again, I was fortunate to be consulting for 20 years, and I was able to see the good and the bad of, you know, businesses culturally, personally, how the people went home, if they were frustrated, how it impacted their families for working too much. So, you know, when you only look at most people's identity, for the most part, can be a huge part of it is work. And when I sold Pinnacle, I had to decouple my identity from Pinnacle, because I was the CEO. I ran it for 20 years. I had to figure out, who am I now? So that set me on another quest of, okay, you've been the CEO. Is that really who you are? And let's validate that. And, you know, when they get to know themselves better, they don't put all the pressure at work, which usually can be toxic, you know, but if they say, okay, this is my definition of success is work and money, then, you know, you're probably not going to be happy in the world. You're going to go home to your family, you're going to be upset because you're not succeeding, not making enough money, whatever it is. You know, you're not engaging in the community or some portion of faith, and you're not keeping yourself healthy. So it's just, yeah, it's definitely, it's intertwined culturally across, you know, your five domains of your life are your personal, your family, your vocation, which is your job, your community, and your faith or your belief system, whatever you believe in. And you really got to consider all those when you're laying out a plan for your life.
Give us an example of someone, maybe yourself or maybe someone you know, who actually writes up a life plan. What is that? What does it look like? I mean, what is it to write up a, you know, to write up a life plan?
So, again, it's a workbook that you go through. If you understand, you do all the assessments, and that becomes, I plot those on a Word document, or you would. And then you define your core values and your belief systems. What, you know, most people have core values for work, but they really don't have core values for themselves. And then some rules that you want to keep in life. You know, like me working out every day, my morning routine is important for me. Those are some hard rules that replenish me to keep me healthy and sound so I can help other people. If I don't have that AM routine, which is part in my life plan, I can go off the tracks and not be as productive and helpful as I want to be. And then the replenishment cycle. You know, there's basically five columns on the life plan, and we're talking about the first one, which is core values and beliefs. And you got to be really cognizant of what replenishes you. You know, everybody could sprint for about 6 weeks at work, but then you start burning out. So what really gets you back to center? You know, mine is quarterly vacations with my wife, you know, monthly getaways with my daughters, you know, working out every day. Those are kind of, that's column one. And then you go into your purpose and mission. And, you know, you can have a professional and a personal one. And I designed it that way because you can't ignore the vocation or your career. But, you know, like I said, mine is to help others be better than they thought they can be. That's what I stand behind. That's why I wrote this book. If they do this, they can be better than they thought they could be. And then you just lay out some other missions. But then the cool part, which took me a little while to come up with, was the center column is writing your eulogy for each of those five domains.
Oh, wow. Let's put a little stop on that one. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So here you are. You're looking at the different parts of your life, and you're, you know, making an assessment about what you may need to adjust a little bit. And in the middle of all of this, now you have to start writing a eulogy for each one of those aspects. So give us an example. What did you write when you were doing your life plan? What was your eulogies like? You had five eulogies you had to write. So was that like?
It was weird because in the center column, which is the eulogy, then the next two columns are your annual goals and then your quarterly goals and priorities. But what's nice about it is if you write your eulogy right, what you're doing annually and quarterly should be validated by how you want to be remembered. And then you have your other guiding principles like your core values and your purpose. But yeah, for me, you know, very, very simplified one. Craig always wanted me to, he always wanted to help me be better. That's my personal one. My family one, Craig prioritized his family and helping them understand character.
Why are you talking about Craig in the third person?
I know. I put it in there for the book, but mine is okay. I always wanted to help people be better.
Okay, so that has been a constant theme for you.
Yeah, it's weird. I've been mentoring kids. When I started being more aware, you know, my daughters, I have three daughters, and their kids would come over, and I would talk to them about how school is going, do they know their strengths, what's their plans, you know, and it was always this mentoring family relationship, and it's just kind of been a natural theme of mine.
Okay, and so when you wrote your eulogy, is it something that one eulogy could go across the board? So I think what you're saying is that we need to then reflect once we're clearer about our goals, you know, what we, our passions, our talents, what we want, what we bring to the table, then we have to write about how would other people perceive that? How do we think people perceive us? How do we perceive us?
Yeah, it's pretty neat. And I have some warm-up exercises in the book to get your head thinking that way, because you got to really start thinking, okay, I'm dead, I'm in casket, my family members up there, what are they saying about me? You know, or my coworkers up there, what are they saying about me? Or my church membership or a community volunteer thing that I'm in, what are they going to say about me? you know, and that's the beginning. And then you got to just, you draft them, you tweak them, and then it's something you're going to live by.
So I'm just wanting to be clear. Do you think the legacy, the what you leave behind, what people think of you, what people say about you, your legacy in the world, is that a big part of the life plan?
It absolutely is, because, you know, how you want to be remembered, and again, your definition of success. Legacy always kind of equates with money, and certainly that's a portion of it, but how else? You know, legacy goes on beyond you. You know, the one question I ask a lot of people when they're thinking about this, it's like, what's going to matter in 20 years? What's going to matter in 50 years? And it's only the impact and influence that you had on others that carry on your belief system or your helping or whatever. But what's really going to matter in 50 years?
Mm-hmm. So the objective of doing this life plan, can you give us a sense of, like, when I asked you, you said it's a little bit involved. It takes some time. It's not something you do, like, you know, 2 hours on a Saturday afternoon. So obviously you have to put some time in. You have to be mindful, thoughtful, focused. You need to want to make change. I think, who is it that said, you know, we would rather be ruined than changed? It's A.W. somebody or other. But, you know, a lot of people just don't want to change. They don't want to reflect. They don't want to look at their own behavior or their own feelings or thoughts. So what do you think would be, you know, an appropriate time in life or an appropriate situation where someone might just dare to start to do this work?
Well, my wife and I got certified in life planning a few years back, and I incorporated a lot of that in here too. And there's an exercise called Turning Points. And it's when people have something that turns in their life hard, a new job, you know, a death, they move, something that really turns their life. It's a good opportunity to step back and say, okay, is this the way I want to go? Or is life dictating where I go? Because we have a lot more choice on the decisions we make than most people think. And there's exercises that, you know, we write down all the what's going right, what's going wrong. And then we say, okay, how much influence do you have on what's going wrong? And most people think, I have none. But most of the time, they have full control. And that's very interesting and eye-opening for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's a big one. As a matter of fact, in the work that I do, and I wear a couple of different hats, but basically I do a lot of work with people in the medical field. I'm a medical educator, and I work a lot with nurses. And one of the things that's really clear is that we really do not like to change things. And when that begins to happen, I mean, sometimes marriages break up because one person moves ahead or one person shifts or one person is willing to let go and another person wants to hold on to the codependency or the drama or the alcohol or the dysfunction or whatever it is. So I guess what I'm digging around at is, you kind of have to be in pretty good shape to do this, because if you're not, you may really wind up, you know, being very uncomfortable or making some deeply dramatic changes in your life, like your life partner. That could also happen, too. It sounds like you have to be fairly well on the road to knowing yourself a bit before you can do this. Would you agree with that? I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I agree, but that's why Chapter 1, our section one, is all about understanding where you're at. How comfortable are you with change? A lot of people are starting to interchange improvement for change, because change just has a stigma of, oh, my world's going to get upset, versus how do we improve our lives? How do we improve our relationship? How do we improve our relationship with our kids? You know, and if you get that mentality, but step one, that's why section one is so important. It's really looking in the mirror and being true with yourself. And then step two is getting clarity on where you want to go. But it's your life. You know, I mean, it's, you're either following or you're an active, engaged in person in your life.
Yeah, the thing of it is that it's hard to be a human being. It's very complicated. It's not easy. We come into this life. Some of us have a sense we've been here before. Some of us don't. There are no roadmaps. There's no owner's manual. There's no clue. Some people say, religious or spiritual people say, we've come here to learn something. But there's one catch. You can't remember anything. It's like the blind leading the blind. It's like we're staggering through. If you're lucky enough to have well-adjusted parents, if you're fortunate enough to have a family that is not terribly dysfunctional, then you have some skills as you go out into the world to be able to start to discern, who you are and who other people are and your place in the world. But so many people, we come into this life in very unfortunate circumstances. And that I think is what makes life so terribly difficult.
Yeah, well, I my wife and I grew up inner city, poor, no money, put myself through college. So I had to do all this myself too, so I get it. And my goal is really get to the people that don't even know this stuff exists, don't even know they can be better, don't even know that there are assessments, free assessments that could help them understand their themselves and change the trajectory of their life, So I've been with nothing, so it's, this is my give back in my ministry for the community and world, if I can get a lot of people to do it, because I think just the communities and world would be a happier place if people are living intentional.
Absolutely. Happy people make a happy planet. Now, you talked about your ministry before when we were doing the pre-interview. Tell us about that, because obviously this is all interwoven into this work and into your writing. Tell us about your ministry and what it means for you to be doing this work in the way that you are.
Well, ministry, has the helping nature, whether you're going to a third world country, digging wells or whatever, or you're just, you're helping. And this is my deal. This is my ministry. I want to help others live life right, or as right as they can, and outfit them with tools and support. So, I kind of, everybody should have something they're giving back to in the world. When you're, gratefulness and fulfillment work hand in hand, but if you're just a taker, you'll never be fulfilled. So giving back something, it doesn't have to be money, it could be time, it could be whatever, but that's how you're going to get a fulfillment factor to get to that happy state.
Well, it's really, isn't it really connecting with the fact that we're interdependent and that we're all connected? I always like to talk about the analogy of our culture and disease, because our culture is becoming more and more rapidly diseased. It's really tragic. We're getting sicker and sicker, even though technology is getting better and better. But the living environment and the working environment is so toxic. People understand a lot about diseases. They don't understand necessarily about cancer, and I think it's a brilliant metaphor for explaining that interconnectedness and that need to be grateful and that need to connect. Cancer cells basically wake up one day and say, I think we're going to take it all for ourselves. It's kind of like the Wolf of Wall Street. And they start munching on the cell membranes of their neighbors. They gobble them up, take out all their nutrients, and work their way through parts of the body, getting plumper and pinker and healthier and fatter than any other tissue. But the irony is that it kills the host it lives on. So there's this need for us to be more in touch with, don't you think, that, we're kind of needing to get back to these basics that you're talking about?
Absolutely. That was a great analogy, too, because, things that are going through life, people go through life, when I do a one-off meeting sometimes, I'll say, they're telling me what they're doing, what's up, and I'm like, why are you doing that? I'm like, because I always done that. And I'm like, well, you don't have to. If it's causing you that much pain and discomfort and not fulfillment, change or improve the plan. And it's just that. People have to decide and decide in advance. And that's why the plan is, it's on paper. You look at it every day. You say, can you tweak it? Yes. But the majority of that should be set, because who you are is who you are. Now, how you capitalize on it, how you have fun in life, how you get fulfilled in life, it is really about self-awareness and being intentional.
can you give us some stories about your clients and some of the changes that have taken place for them as a result of using the book?
Oh, it's kind of cool. This company I'm at right now, I introduced it last year, and I did some leadership training for them too. And, you know, I put 10 people through this. They're up and coming leaders. They were in a manager role, had them go through this self-awareness test, and they did it with their boyfriend, girlfriend, or partner. And it was just unbelievable feedback. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's why I do that. That's why he does that. You know, we had production people not talking with the salespeople, and they thought they were intentionally doing things just because one was so focused on getting the things done, he didn't pick his head up to go talk to him. Is this still the priority? You know, so had that self-awareness, and then how you interact with others with this newfound understanding is really, really neat. And that happens all over. I know many companies around here, big and small, that go through these self-awareness assessments, but they don't really, it's more for them to know who they are and how to interact with the other people. But that's only one portion of this plan.
So would you say that your experience in business, in terms of dealing with, you know, large numbers of people, you know, different cohorts and groups of people, did that inspire you to address, you know, people from a certain kind of cohort or culture, or do you feel that you wanted to reach as many and as diverse people as possible?
Well, it's, you know, when I owned Pinnacle, I had, you know, we had accountants, we were a technology company, so we did accounting systems, we did programming, and we did IT work. And every one of those were wired different. So there was this constant tension that I couldn't figure out in our meetings. And so we went through this exercise, and it lowered that tension. You're always going to have tension in business. I don't expect that to go to zero. Healthy tension is the key. But when they start going through this and understanding it, just the pure communication to each other with respect, that started changing the culture quite a bit.
Oh, I would imagine so. And wouldn't it be nice if we could have a renaissance of that, Craig?
Absolutely.
That would be quite wonderful. I can't believe it. 40 minutes have gone by. We're going to take our second and last break. And when we come back, we'll have time to talk about your planned workshops and your book, where people can find it, what you're doing currently, and how people, you know, can connect with you. So don't go away, everybody. We will be back in just a few minutes with Craig's, is it Schroeder?
Schroeder.
I hope I've said it right.
Yeah, it's Schroeder.
It's Schroeder. Okay. There's a New York accent. I have a New York accent. Craig Schroeder.
Yes.
We'll be right back, Craig. Thank you so much. Don't go away, everybody.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way.
What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing Behavior.
Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
Welcome back for our final segment of Living Above the Drama today. I am speaking with Craig Schroda, who is the author of The Ultimate Manual, The Missing Guide to Living a Meaningful Life. Craig co-founded and served as the CEO of one of the largest Microsoft partners in the North, the northern part of Indiana. So you're a pretty IT-savvy dude if you were working in that particular area. So talk to us about where you're finding the greatest need in our culture, our society, for people to, I know you're going to say everywhere, but do you feel that there are cohorts of populations of people that are really maybe disconnecting or they're not as conscious of their own needs as other groups of people?
Absolutely. There's, you know, you read a lot about millennials and whatever else and the power of full engagement at work. And really, when people aren't engaged in their life or at work or any of the five domains, that should be a clue. If you're not like, man, I'm loving this job, I'm loving my life, I'm really engaged, I'm getting up, I'm not sleeping in, I'm getting up and getting after it. You know, if you're not that would be the first clue that you probably should start thinking about doing a life plan and just get things on the table. You might not solve it in a week or two or whatever, but, you know, self-awareness takes time. And you got to be truthful with yourself.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult. I mean, it's, you know, it's funny because your plan on paper and intellectually sounds wonderful, but I suspect that people come up against it a lot. And sometimes it goes well and sometimes it doesn't go well. Do you have a particular story you can share with us about one of your clients or, you know, a group that you had as a client where things went really well and then one where maybe they didn't go so well?
Well, to start with the one that didn't go so well, they really, when they would do the assessments, they were trying to fake out of what they thought the answers should be versus honestly answering the assessments. Because, you know, I got one of the assessments back from a gentleman in the executive coaching. I'm like, there's no way that's you. What were you trying to do? And he said, I was answering like, I thought I should answer. And I'm like, that's not going to be helpful. So that's an example of bad. You know, you got to be truthful and get back after it and just really answer these things honestly. And even with you, I would challenge you to, after this call, go to 16personalities.com and take the free Myers-Briggs. It takes 5 minutes and I think you'll be amazed.
It's 16personalities.com.
Yep, 1-6.
1-6. I'm doing this for the listeners. It's 16personalities.com, which is the Myers-Briggs site. That's great. Oh, well, that's kind of a quick assessment, isn't it, though?
Yeah, well, it's pretty thorough, though. But, you know, you want to, you know, to do a complete life plan. That'll get you started. And again, life's the journey, right? So you just got to start. Maybe you do this one today, tomorrow, and then you go do your love language one next week. And the thing is to capture the results and get them on this page. You can download it free from my website and just start capturing it. And that leads to the good. I mean, we've had many of these when I did the executive coaching and retreats, we introduced this. And man, oh man, you know, a year later, I go back and do the same retreat with the same guys. And some of the habits that they have changed, their lifestyle that they changed, just generally happier overall. Many, many people have shared that with me because I teach an annual retreat for executive forums, and I use this.
Wonderful. So, you know, I've been very much on the outside of all that you're talking about because I never worked in a corporation, never worked in IT. Now, I've really been kind of an independent person, and my career has always been as an individual, you know, whatever. And it's very interesting to hear. There's a certain way of being and living and thinking, and there's a mentality that goes along with corporate culture. And so it's kind of fascinating to hear in where I'm sitting that there's this process that people kind of work themselves away from, and then they get into the business world for 20 years, and then they have to start to unwind and kind of play it backwards. Have you found that that's fairly consistent in the business world, where people work and work and work and work themselves into this kind of almost cocoon, and then they've lost themselves in a way? They've built something around them.
There's certainly a lot of that going on because of the definition of success hasn't been defined. You know, it's I want X amount of money in the bank, right? So there's certainly a lot of that. I was surprised, though. There are a lot of people that are half self-aware. You know, they know their strengths. They know their Myers-Briggs. They know their DISC profile. And they're aware of it. It's just they didn't go. That's because that kind of is businessy, you know. And it's businessy and a little bit of personal. You know, these things work hand in hand. But then when you get into the love language, the emotional intelligence in your life wheel and things of that nature, that crosses over in the personal. But you really want to work as a holistic plan across your life and across those domains.
Right. So you must be terribly excited with the work that you're doing. And I'm sure that you would recommend to anyone. How old were you when you essentially retired from what you, I mean, being in the corporate world?
I was 48 and I did the executive, then I moved into executive coaching. So I really didn't retire, but I moved out of my IT company. Mm-hmm. And now I'm the president of a flavor and fragrance and essential oil company here in Indiana.
Uh-huh.
So
as what you did is you really just changed venues, but continued to do the same good work that you were doing.
Yeah.
That's great. We've got just a couple of minutes left, Craig. Why don't you tell us about your website? Tell us where you may be either blogging or speaking or making appearances or having workshops. So tell us all about how the listeners can find you and find your book and the work that you're doing.
All right, so there's two websites, craigschroda.com, and that's my weekly blog that I do. I've been doing that for about 6-7 years now. And in my quest to just continually learn and continually improve, I put a lot of my learnings out there for other people to apply. And then the book website is theultimatemanual.com. If you go there, you can look at reviews, look at testimonials. And as far as workshops, if you pull us on my website, we're going to probably start the first part of February or March with workshops. We did a couple. My wife and I did one at St. Mary's College here last year, and it went off well. and there was a request to do it as a couples. And that would really piqued our interest. So we're going to try to, because if I lay out my life plan here, but it's totally not congruent with my wife's, that's a problem. You know, so you really want to understand each other, but then say, okay, are we doing this life together or not? So we'll probably be doing some single one-page life plan workshops and then moving into some couples by the end of the year.
Really? Mm-hmm. So you're going to be, I'm at a loss for words. So you're now seeing it as, which makes complete sense, that it's an activity that married couples or couples who are committed should really look at and consider as a way of moving their relationship forward and getting to know each other better.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so huge. When my wife and I did that workshop, when you looked at the disconnect of where they want to be in 10 to 3 years, or 10 to 30 years, and or 3 to 5, and I'm like, well, you guys probably should talk about this. You're working together instead of against each other. And so you're aligned, you know, because you don't wake up all of a sudden 10 years later and say, oh, I don't like this person anymore. That happens over time. But if you're intentional, it necessarily doesn't have to.
Right, exactly. I was talking to one of my sons today. I have two married sons and an unmarried daughter. And we were talking about just that. What happens when one partner has a different life plan or a different life intention or a different self-awareness? And I think, Craig, you're doing a wonderful job on a very important subject that everybody should know about. So they can go to your website. They can find your book. Are there any other things that you'll be offering or that will be available to people in the coming future?
Yeah, I post a lot of tools on my website. You can download these templates and life wheel assessments right from my website, which I would highly recommend if you guys, if anybody out there listening just wants to try it out and say, okay, how much fun am I having in life? How's my romance? How's my, you know, my community? How's my health? It's just a 8-point wheel assessment. It really opens your eyes of, I think I'm weak here. You know, money could be great, but I don't have a relationship with my wife. Better do something about that, you know?
Yeah. So it's really about, once again, it always goes back to balance, 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 doesn't it?
Yes, and accountability and execution.
Yeah. Well, Craig, it's just been delightful having you on the show. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your information, your writing, your time, and your expertise. And listeners, don't forget to join us again next week for another program of Living Above the Drama.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.